Hey, and welcome to the IABC Ottawa podcast, The Voice.
The show where we talk about all things related to communications.
Ottawa is one of the International Association of Business Communicators' largest chapters in the world, and we are very pleased to bring you a podcast that covers everything from marketing,
strategy,
social media,
crisis comms,
public affairs,
to whatever else is relevant to communicators.
Hey, I'm Sarah.
And hello, I am Sherry. And welcome, listeners, to episode 119.
Sherry, what is the topic for this episode?
Well, Sarah, because it's the start of a new year, we wanted to take a look at some of the comms trends we're seeing now and some of the trends that we're expecting to see more of this year. This is sort of going to be a reflection of last year and a look forward with useful tips for marketing and comms professionals.
I love it. Because, like, we see a lot of this in the new year. Lists and recaps from different associations talking about what to expect in the year ahead. And the trends are changing so rapidly with social media and whatnot. You've got to keep on top of it.
Exactly. So we wanted to walk listeners through some of that, Sarah, and we got really lucky. We were able to connect with a top communicator at LinkedIn who spends her days focused on this. Jennifer Urbanski is currently the senior government lead at LinkedIn. And for the last 5 years, she's been running training on how staff and executives can use the professional networking platform more effectively. So a bit more on Jennifer. She's worked with some of the largest players in Canadian advertising, including the Government of Canada, Export Development Canada, Canada Post, and provincial governments right across the country. That's actually part of why she's currently learning French as well. And she's got some really great advice and insights for us, and you'll hear those in a moment. But particularly, she notes in this interview that government and private sector clients really want a lot of the same things. They're not as far apart as we think they are in their communication needs.
Awesome. Well, I haven't heard this interview yet, so I'm pretty pumped. Let's get to it.
All right, let's play it. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me, and welcome to IABC Ottawa's The Voice.
Thanks for having me.
So I did give listeners some of the highlights of your career, of you being at LinkedIn. But to start, why don't you tell us what actually got you into marketing and advertising?
Sure. Yeah, I fell in love with business when I was a little girl. My parents were entrepreneurs. They had a furniture shop and my grandparents had an antique store. So I would have to go and, you know, hang out all day at these places. I asked one summer if I could start my own table, if my mom would bring me to garage sales on Saturdays and I'd, you know, eye some antiques. And then I went from one table to 16 tables my first year doing it. I made enough money to buy my first snowboard as a 9-year-old.
Oh my goodness.
After that, I wanted to be in business forever. Like I, you know, in grade 11, I took marketing and like fell in love with it, learned about TV advertising and just thought it was the coolest thing ever. So.
Well, you've definitely come a long way. That's so funny that you had that keen interest that young. Like, yeah, as a 9-year-old, I was in love with business.
It was so fun to buy something for 25 cents. Like, I bought a Mickey Mouse lunchbox once for 25 cents and sold it for $50. Can you
what?
Imagine as a 9-year-old? $50.
That's quite a deal, so. Too. Like, quite an exchange. Things have obviously changed a lot since then. Now it's 2019. You're older. You've been through school, working with LinkedIn. Tell us, I guess, a bit about what you do now, because it has changed.
It has. And what I would say to any of the listeners that might happen to be, you know, in university or even, you know, younger than that, trying to figure their life out, I did not plan to be where I am today. So when I started at LinkedIn, I got hired to work on a different vertical. And it was luck that I fell into working on government. It actually was because the Government of Canada was holding their digital advertising day in Ottawa. And I had like one government account in my book of business. And so my boss said, you have to go to Ottawa and give this presentation. And Trudeau had just won the election and had publicly published his mandate letters. So I read them all because I knew nothing about government, and formulated this whole message of how if, you know, the government of Canada wants to present a professional government to Canadians, they should be using LinkedIn. And it's just been a crazy journey since then. And, you know, they do. The government of Canada and the provinces in Canada, you know, the Crown corporations, they are globally the best communicators on our platform by far. So wow. It's been a really great journey.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason we wanted to have you on the podcast is because you have worked with some of these huge clients, and not all of our listeners work with government, but no matter what kind of marketing campaign it is, you're still trying to get the public, you're trying to get your message out there. And you've just spent the last year, the last several years working with clients to help them make these campaigns better. So after, I guess, like even if we look back just at 2019, do you have some big takeaways for what's working right now, what's not working?
Yeah, I think one of the things I say all the time to my clients is that government is not really that different than private sector. Like the biggest brands in private sector, and I have worked on, you know, tons of private sector clients in my career, they have very similar challenges. And so as communicators, it can be so hard to stand out in today's world, a world that has so many messages everywhere. And, you know, people have such short attention spans, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's really not that different no matter what you work on. I'm sure everyone's nodding their heads relating. You know, for me, the thing that stands out, and it's really started to be become higher quality in 2019 in the past couple of years, is the quality of content and the quality of a message. So I think as a communicator, what we see does the best, resonates the best, performs the best, is being really authentic. And just making sure that the stuff you're saying is different and stands out. We see things like challenger approaches, you know, challenging the status quo, offering solutions. So if we do all have these common challenges, offering solutions that actually break through.
Is there one campaign or something in particular, whether it was your client or someone else that you saw in 2019 and you were like, wow, like it really got your attention?
I'll start first by referencing something that would be a client because it's so much closer to home. But there's an organization in Ottawa called Invest in Canada. And so they're Canada's foreign investment firm. So they're tasked with, you know, even a company like LinkedIn, we're an American company. We have an office here in Toronto. LinkedIn would work with the country, Canada. They'd work with the city, Toronto. They'd work with the province, Ontario, to find out what the talent pool is like here and, you know, what it means if they set up an office here. And so it's a super competitive space. As you can imagine, countries all over the world want companies like LinkedIn. People might have heard of the Amazon bid a couple years ago, you know, really competitive to get these companies to come and set up. So everyone says the same thing. Everyone says we have the best tech talent. We've got great universities. We've got, you know, great lifestyle, great taxes, incentives. And so standing out becomes really important. And so Invest in Canada has just been, if you look at their LinkedIn page and you look at their messaging, it's so unique. It's so interesting. You know, even if you're not interested in this space, I really think that you'd love the content. That's what comes to mind right away. Have you seen anything?
That's a tough one. You're putting me on the spot. Yeah, no. I notice more, I guess, like brands. Like I love when people will take a risk and be human and be funny and cheeky. To stand out. So the No Name brand comes to mind. I don't know how to describe what they do, but they have put their No Name thing on everything. So at Halloween, they made like a No Name house to give an example, I think is probably the best one. And that's what, like, it's not even about their brand or what they do, but I'm following them because I just love those messages. Now, there are a lot of organizations that wouldn't do that, that wouldn't take that risk. But it's funny that you mentioned one of the key things that people are doing right now is trying to stand out. In this case, it doesn't sound like they're doing it by being cheeky. It just sounds like they found a message, I guess, that's different from the norm. Like, what about them makes them unique?
Yeah, and some of the stuff that they do, it is cheeky, and I like a cheeky approach, but I definitely caveat to different brands or to different regions even. If cheeky fits with your brand, great. If it doesn't, then, you know, you don't have to do cheeky. Calgary is another region who does a lot of cheeky messaging, but it really fits with the brand that Calgary is trying to portray on a world stage. But Invest in Canada, you know, when the Raptors won the championship last year, they did a basketball court. And so they weren't using any NBA IP and breaking any sort of brand rules, but they just used a simple basketball court like graphic. And they said, Canada is your home court advantage. And they released it at the same time that the Raptors won. And it did so well. On Valentine's Day, they did a map of Canada with little hearts of each of the major cities across it and said, let us help you find your match, your location match, that is. And it's just so well done. And you don't see that in this space. And I understand it can be scary for a lot of organizations to, you know, go out on a limb. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges I see working with the clients I work with now, but in my whole career, trying to convince executives sometimes the benefit of having a different marketing message or really trying to stand out from the crowd can be really hard. You know, communicators are often working with senior leaders. Ultimately, you know, these decisions roll up to senior leaders that aren't spending every day looking at ad messages, and they're not necessarily trained in communications and marketing. And so to try and convince those people to take a risk can be really hard.
Yeah, that is actually, it's funny you say that, because that is one of the biggest struggles I find I have working in comms, is trying to get people to understand why something will resonate. I just want to get back to the what you were talking about doing, though, because that's such a good, I think, I mean, you could call it a trend that other people are doing, but it's almost like, I don't know how you would describe it, maybe not existing in isolation. Like, it's your branding and your marketing doesn't have to just be about your brand. Like, you can talk about and promote what you do in context with what other people are talking about. So whether it's Valentine's Day or the weather or the Raptors, like jumping sort of on those timely things that are motivating people and that people are gravitating towards and finding a way to make it work for your brand. Is that kind of sounds like one of the ways that you were describing to be, I don't know if that's being authentic or standing out. Am I describing it right?
You are. Yeah, you're bang on. And I also think this weaves into your question about like certain trends that I've seen. So, you know, two key things that I spend so much time talking to people about have to do with hashtags, like the use of hashtags, and also this whole, you know, being authentic and talking about things other than just your product or your brand. So let's start with hashtags. You know, on LinkedIn, if you are just starting out and you start posting content, the algorithm does not show your content to your network. You know, there's tons of content on LinkedIn now. If you want to get into this larger conversation, you need to use hashtags to amplify your message, and you need to use things that are broad topics. So I know on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, you know, we've come into this culture where we almost use hashtags to be funny or silly or emphasize a point. But on LinkedIn, hashtags are about fitting into a larger conversation. So, you know, even if I take, say, a big brand like Canada Post, it's not about hashtag Canada Post or hashtag, you know, send your mail. I don't know. But it's more about hashtag direct mail or hashtag marketing or communications. Those are the topics that people are interested in and looking for, and not these vanity hashtags that you might be used to on other channels. So I think that that's a really important point, certainly if you're looking at our platform, but even in general, think about why you're doing things as opposed to just trying to, you know, I don't know, be fun or make a point. When it comes to talking about things other than your product, we see in data all the time with communications, if you just talk about your product and your brand, people tune it out. When you humanize it and you show, you know, as I talk to salespeople a lot, when you're posting content about yourself, talk about sports that you're interested in, talk about the fact that you have a family, talk about the fact that you might travel for work. You know, if you support small businesses or entrepreneurs, or you support women or youth in business, talk about those things, and you'll see in the data that people resonate with those things and they'll come to you, and later you can talk about your product or your service once you've started to establish a relationship.
So is your advice do both? Because this is the other thing that I struggle with when I've gone to executives or anyone with an idea, is they're like, oh no, we can't do that. That's not part of our comm strategy, or it's not part of what we do. It's unrelated. Like, you can imagine if you're selling soap and you're trying to tell someone to put out a Raptors related message, like they may not see that joining. Can you say it's okay, we can do this and we're still going to have our regular branded advertising? Or are you better off to do one or the other and just stick to that?
Yeah, it can be so hard to convince others of this. So my opinion, and everyone feels very strongly about this sort of topic and has their own opinion. Mine is that actually you should do like way more content and messaging that isn't directly about your product than is. I think in the message that you give, if you're a soap company and you're talking about sports or the Raptors, try and be creative about where your product might fit into that conversation. So I don't know, like athletes are sweaty after they finish a game, or like the Raptors really cleaned up during the series.
Oh, that is like, good. That is
creative.
Good.
Yeah, get creative. It's just, if you're always tying it back to your brand or your product, and if it really doesn't come across genuine, you risk losing trust with your audience. And trust we see in today's world, you know, LinkedIn does trust studies with Edelman every year. Trust is at an all-time low. I mean, we see it. We see it in government and politics. We see it in, you know, social channels like Facebook, like Twitter. We hear about it in financial services, in healthcare, like in so many different categories. So trust is so important. So you have to decide as a brand, do you want to build trust and build a relationship with people, or do you want to just always be shoving your product and service down their throat?
And so that's how you would recommend building trust, is through those sort of more human campaigns.
Yeah. And the other piece I would say, it's very hard to convince a paid media campaign or paid media budget to not just focus on, you know, the brand or the product or leads, as people like to say. And so, you know, think about in that overall strategy, can you be a little bit more flexible in your organic and your free strategy? If that makes people feel a little more comfortable, start there. And what's really great about starting that way is if you do get traction and you can prove a point with the free stuff,
through the
then
data,
you could sort of phase two. Yeah, your phase two for your paid stuff, you can start to make that point.
Okay, that is really good advice. Yeah, especially coming, because like I said, I've run into that myself. So I do want to ask you, because part of the emphasis of talking to you right now is that it is a new year. Is there something you've noticed that we're shifting away from in marketing and communications, whether for the good or for the bad? I know we're no longer selling lunchboxes for 25 cents, but what else have you noticed is different about the market?
You know, video communications, we've heard this for, you know, a few years. It's not like just 2020, but video communications is like at an all-time high. I see with executives, with, you know, communications people, video is so big. So I think every social platform has video now. You see stories being something that's being integrated into everyone's, you know, social features that are available. And I think, again, that just plays into this whole building trust and authenticity piece. Like, we even see with data that video, like, shot, you know, selfie mode performs way higher than highly produced video. And it's not just LinkedIn that we see that with. I've seen that and heard that through studies that clients or just even industry studies have done. So there you go. Like, that itself shows that people would rather see your authentic version of yourself than something highly produced.
Okay.
What else? What else is changing in 2020? I feel like we have all the same challenges that we've had.
Yeah, I was going to ask, that's a good next question, is what do you think the top challenges are for today's marketing or comms professional?
I think a lot of the stuff that's happened over the last decade, because it was like, you know, the last 20 years, say, is it's just all the first time digital and all this stuff is coming out and happening. A lot of stuff is built on really broken and like band-aid solutions.
And still new.
Yeah. And it's so hard, like for comms staff and for marketers to work within the existing infrastructure is really hard. And I find that then everyone just keeps having these same conversations about, yeah, we know that that's not best practice and we know that's not the best way to do things, but we have to do it for, you know, reason X, Y, and Z. And it becomes hard. It becomes hard to build a new website from scratch or to, you know.
And to do things for different platforms I mean, I work in social media, but you almost need a strategy for every platform. And so many organizations, I think, don't do that because they don't have time or they don't have the resources or the understanding isn't there.
Yeah. Resources are a big one. Hey, everyone just keeps having to work with less and do more. And so convenience and, you know, automation, that's a buzzword. Automation just becomes a focus. But you know, if I'm talking to you about authenticity being a key, I believe strongly that automation takes away from authenticity. So it's really tough. And for you in social and for anyone working in social and comms, you know, to make the case for, say, more headcount on a team can be really hard because a lot of what you do is kind of free, you know, like, oh, but you're doing organic, hard to get budget for that because you're not necessarily proving ROI. And
so, yeah. I mean, we should end on like a positive note, I guess. Or
I know.
But is there, what's your advice? Like, if you had to give three tips for people, and it doesn't have to be three, but what is your advice or must do's for this year? It's not going to be perfect. Things are going to change. Trends are going to shift. But what should comms people think about?
Okay. I believe it's very important in communications, in marketing, in really any role you're in, to be very clear about what your objectives are. So I can't give blanket advice for everyone other than I think it's important to sit down and think about what it is that you're trying to achieve and why. I think that should be done as a team. So what I would then say point number two is collaboration is key. If you don't have different groups and functions understanding each other, it turns into a competition of, I don't think they should be doing this, or, you know, I don't agree with that. So I think doing it collaboratively is great. And if you are clear about why you're doing it and you're able to communicate that to your cross-functional partners, that's what helps with success. And then the third point would be to do fewer things better. Like, I know that's a buzz thing to say, but a lot of organizations I find in communications, they want to, you know, go into a boardroom or go in front of a team and sort of say, we're doing all of these things to try and prove their value. But I've seen greater success in being very clear about what you're doing and why, and choosing priorities. I think I've heard a phrase once that if you have more than five priorities, you don't have priorities. So choose these things, feel strongly about them, advocate for them. That's the advice that I would give.
I think that's wonderful. All three of those, it's funny, they tie so well together because when you talk about knowing exactly what you want to achieve, if you know that, it's easier to shave off things, right? Like it's easier to say, okay, well, this platform may not meet that audience as well as this platform, and you can sort of weigh the odds and make a decision. Jennifer, you've given us so much good advice and things to think about. Like, yeah, I know there are challenges, but it's great to talk to someone who's seen and experienced so much. Is there anything else you wanted to say or leave people with before we go?
I would say good luck to everyone this year. You guys are, you're all Canadian, so I support everything you're doing. I encourage you to go and challenge the status quo and be the best you can be, because it just elevates our country. And that's a great goal to have. If you guys want to find me on LinkedIn, you can see a lot of what I've chatted about today put into practice, and I can inspire you beyond just this podcast. But thank you so much for having me, and have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Jen. And yes, I will say your LinkedIn is Jennifer Urbanski, and that's spelled Urbanski if people want to look you up, because you have blog posts as well on LinkedIn.
I do.
With some more advice for people. Yeah. Okay. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Oh, that was so good.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a fun interview to do. It was really great to talk to her.
She was smart, insightful. It was also accessible information, like tips communicators at any level in any industry can take away and hopefully implement. So, Sherry, I've got to ask you.
Yes.
And I've got to get your take on what stood out for you during the interview as sort of an aha moment, if you will.
It's like Oprah with the aha moments.
Yes.
You know, she had a lot of really good points, but I think the one that I would try to implement is to actually do less. Like she talked about really knowing what you want, whatever your organization is. And because of how quickly things change and because of the amount of platforms out there, I do think if you can hone in on a specific goal, you can shave off some of the extra things that you're doing and do something better.
She sort of did talk about like that crowded space, right? It's such a crowded space. There's no reason to put out information that just continues to blur that area, right? Or be specific in your ask, your challenges, your needs, your whatever, right?
Yeah.
I like that.
So listening to it for you, did anything stand out or what came across for you?
Yeah. I mean, I loved her point about addressing challenges and solutions in marketing material. So not only being vulnerable enough to address your company's challenges, but then also offering solutions to your audience. And I think particularly to that, you can gain a lot of traction, she said, when you pinpoint a common human universal issue that your company's having and sort of bring people together on that. And I mean, I loved her points on authenticity. I thought that was really good.
You just spoke to that a little bit because we hear that word so often. Oh, be authentic. But she kind of put it in perspective, like, no, this is what this means. Like you said, like capitalize on a moment or an issue.
Right. And you had a really good, I hadn't thought of the no name brand that has a lot of authentic kind of different ads. You know, maybe it's not selling a product. And you mentioned this. Maybe it's not selling or promoting a product specifically, but that's kind of what makes it interesting. It's you know, the house on, what was it, Halloween or whatever.
Yeah, so they did a no-name house. I had a really hard time describing it, but I went back and looked at it afterwards, and they had, like, made a yellow Halloween house with just the words, like, no-name across it.
Like, brilliant. It's not shoving it in your face. And when you think about it, all of our human interactions aren't shoving information in people's faces. It's about, you know, working at a relationship and, you know, coaxing. So I thought that was really great off the top. I also really enjoyed the part of the conversation when she addressed making like social issues known. So, and you see a lot of brands starting to do this with even the take a knee, Nike's take a knee stance, or I don't know, other companies coming out on a social issue and showing whether you're a feminist-based company, an environmentally friendly company, a company that, you know, is big on mental health. Like, be open and transparent and vulnerable on that.
And it doesn't have to be 100% related to your brand or your agency. You know, like, I think there's a space for companies and agencies and organizations to take on that human role. And that's what users, people,
yes,
notice. That's part of what, absolutely, you know, makes them stand out.
Like,
but so many organizations are afraid to do that.
Yes,
I
think so, because it's like they don't want to be politically correct. But you know what? Millennials, especially, I think, speaking as one, like companies that take a risk, take a stand.
I don't think it's just like one age group, though. No. I think like all, like anyone who, because there's so much content out there and so many companies.
Yeah.
I think people appreciate a human side.
Anyway, it was great. I loved it. And I think there's a lot of good information we can take from it. So that's it for this episode of the IABC Ottawa podcast, The Voice, episode 119. We hope you'll join us again next time. Until then, if you have feedback, we'd love to hear it.
We are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The handle is at IABC Ottawa. You can also check out our social and website, ottawa.iabc.com, for information on all upcoming IABC Ottawa networking, professional development events, member meetups, and more.
And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys. Sarah, let's let the music play.
Let it play.